All right, are we doing this?
I guess.
Welcome everyone to the Roommate Conversations. You are listening to the first podcast with Aditya and Ben. Both of us are currently rising juniors at Emory University, planning to study business at Goizueta Business School. We are recording our podcast close to 10,000 miles apart due to the coronavirus pandemic. Ben is currently situated in Westchester, New York, while I am sitting in Malaysia as we record this podcast. We have a lot to discuss and are excited to bring you the long-awaited podcast. But before I introduce my co-host, let's hit it with the intro music. Thank you so much, Alex Gandhi, or DJ Gandhi, or Boydell Beats, Boydell Beats, for making that intro music. You've done really well. Check him out on Spotify, SoundCloud, on YouTube. He's killing it. He's doing really well. Go subscribe, go follow him.
Oh yeah, I just want to thank Alex. Shout out to Alex. I really appreciate it. I never met you, but you seem like a really cool guy.
So Ben, can you just explain to the listeners, why are we doing this podcast? What is this whole concept about?
So we had this idea probably a few months ago, maybe. Since we've been roommates the last 2 years, we've always had really interesting discussions amongst ourselves and with our friends, and people always like to come over and sort of chime in with on our discussions. So we thought it might be a really nice idea to make it into a podcast so that listeners can sort of listen in on sort of the stuff that we talk about, and also to get a better grasp of what the ultimate college experience is like. So through the future episodes, we're going to have interviews with friends and family and discuss their experience in college and some of the interesting topics that interest them. And that's pretty much what it's going to be like.
Yeah, and we hope that you can listen to each podcast episode and tap into each experience. And through listening to all of our episodes, we believe that you can better understand what a true college experience is and chime into the type of conversations that we have. Hi, how is Westchester? How's New York? How you been? How's coronavirus been for you?
It's good. I mean, so I live in Westchester, New York, Northern Westchester. It's pretty chill. I mean, I haven't left my house since I got home from Emory, so I don't really know what the outside world is, what's going on out there, but I know it's pretty bad in the city especially. So I feel bad for a lot of people that are less fortunate. But I feel so thankful for like what I have for sure.
Completely agree. I think this specific pandemic has made me like really, really thankful about the situation I've been. Yeah, but do you remember exactly how it started? Do you remember when we went to spring break? Do you remember what you said?
Yeah. So I remember when we were at school, I was like, oh, it's nothing. Like, it's going to go away in like a second.
So for the viewers who don't understand, so what happened was we first read it all on the news. A lot of memes were coming out at the time. It wasn't a huge deal, right? And at least people didn't think it was. And I remember I read the news and I saw it spreading all over China. And I knew it because I used to live in Hong Kong for 11 years. And so I had a lot of friends there who were like, their universities had been impacted. Like they had closed down almost for the rest of the semester. They've already transitioned to online school. At that point, I knew how bad it was. And I knew because the thing is, I think we heard for the first time that there was like a case in the US.
Yeah,
I think. Mm-hmm. I think that was the same period. And so I was like, this is going to spread like wildfire. My whole thought process was that if there is one detected case, there must be 10 others mm-hmm. that are undetected. Yep. Right. And so I was like to Ben, I came back and we're both roommates. I came to Ben and I was like, yo, it's going to go down. Ben basically said, like, the healthcare system in the U.S. is too good. Nothing's going to happen. We're going to stop it before it ever, like...
what's so ironic about it is that, like, I read, like, so much news. I, like, read the New York Times all the time. And, like, you don't. So I'm usually on top of this stuff.
Actually, I've started to. Yeah, yeah, to be honest, most of the news that I read is about financial markets and stuff. But I do read a lot of New York Times recently, very recently.
But it was just so funny because, like, usually I'm on top of this stuff. But at that time, like, the papers weren't really saying it was anything. So I just assumed that it was not going to be a big deal, like, because I'd never seen anything like it. And then it turned out to be absolutely ridiculous, unprecedented.
It was during our spring break. I was considering maybe not even going anywhere for spring break. So my uncle actually lives in New Jersey. Like, at that time, CDC specifically was saying that, oh, no need to wear masks. Make sure that you don't wear masks because the healthcare provider needs it most, which is fair, which is completely true. But I was like, I need to be cautious. I need to be very careful. And I had one mask. So at Emory, we have friends here who are studying pre-med. It's very well known for its medicine, right? And so I was able to get one mask, one face mask. And I wore that when I was going to the airport. And everybody, like, people were laughing. Like, people were like, oh, you're taking this too seriously and stuff.
No, I was angry. I was angry about it because that was the one thing I had read about the virus was that you're not supposed to buy masks because they need to be for the healthcare workers. And I'm like, why would you do the one thing they're telling you not to do? And you're like, nah.
And then a month later, they say, oh, it's better for you to wear a mask. And I, like, the reason why I wore a mask, right? So Hong Kong has gone through SARS before. In Hong Kong, it's, like, customary. If a flu season goes around, people are always wearing masks. It's just a thing that people do in Hong Kong, right? And it probably is because they've been through it before, right? My whole process was that, like, by taking it seriously or by, like, being scared about it or being worried about it was my way of being careful. That makes sense.
Yeah. No, but I also think that just the different take we had on the mask thing sort of exemplifies how, like, in a lot of ways, like, our cultural divide in terms of where we come from and in terms of how we bring different perspectives to things.
100%. Completely agree. How is finishing off the semester? How has it been the last one third of our studies back at home?
I mean, it's been all right. Zoom University has been interesting. I mean, it's disappointing because, like, obviously not having the real college experience, living at school with your friends and stuff is pretty terrible. And it's still so much money, so it really sucks. But in terms of, like, classes, I mean, to be honest, a lot of classes got easier because, like, teachers were taking away work, professors, I mean. And it was a lot more chill in the Zoom sessions, which was nice.
Yeah.
But overall it was a downer for sure.
I think in the first few weeks I despised it. Like, I honestly missed university. I missed my whole life, like, extracurriculars, things that we used to do, just go to play basketball and stuff. Yeah. Those things, like, just being taken away, but not being able to leave the apartment was really bad. But now it's weird. I've gotten used to it. And I don't like that I've gotten used to it, but
now it just feels normal.
Exactly. And I don't like that. Like, I don't like staying at home all the time, but
yeah,
it's something that's become a weird norm.
It's really weird. It's going to be so weird when it goes back to what it was. It's like, oh, yeah, like, life is not just all in your house.
But the people I feel most for are the seniors, you know? They don't get an actual graduation. Yeah, it's so sad.
That's so sad, especially because, like, some schools, like, we're thinking about, like, postponing commencement and, like, doing it when everyone came back, but now, like, since this is going on for so long, like, I don't think that's gonna work. For seniors, I would say, like, even though, like, it obviously sucks that they didn't have graduation, like, this is, like, worse for them on a number of levels in terms of, like, this is when their new life is supposed to be starting, like, jobs or whatever they're going on to do. Like, this is really bad, like, way beyond just not having graduation.
Yeah, the impacts of coronavirus, specifically economically, financially, is something that I don't think we'll ever get to really understand until, like, 2 years down the line. And so it's not something that, like, we should think about flippantly.
No, I mean, we've reached, like, Great Depression levels of, like, economic turmoil. It's pretty wild. I mean, who would have thought that something like a virus could derail society like it has? It's unfathomable a couple months ago.
But what's interesting is that when we hear about the U.S. media, a lot of it is discussing about how it was like a China issue or China virus and stuff. And I'm not pinpointing specifically about the like where it originated or the politics that are surrounding that, but it kind of highlights a lot of the fundamental issues within society. You know, we don't have enough we don't like give enough priority to a lot of the healthcare workers and it's just unfortunate. There's nothing much that is in place to stop something like this.
And the crazy thing about that is that there actually was like a pandemic task force in America and at the White House. They had it part of past presidential administrations, and the current administration decided that it was unnecessary, and so that was cut a few years back. So looking back now, that was obviously a pretty bad decision.
But even then, right, even if there was a task force, like how much could they have stopped this? How much was in place already for it to have mitigated the problem? Either way, it's kind of like it's not just a U.S. problem, it's a global problem, right? Even though U.S. is the brunt of it and facing like a major part of it, like it's a global issue. And like, the thing is, like, I don't think the world was ready for a pandemic in that sense. It's unfortunate that the people who are getting affected are usually the people who are most marginalized within
society. Absolutely. And I think not necessarily that the task force itself would have been able to like mitigate this, but I think it's just symbolic of how the U.S. It was very unprepared and why it's being hit the hardest and why it was dealt with very poorly.
But in this podcast, we're not trying to talk about all the negatives, thinking about a little bit more about the positives as well. So an app that's been blowing up during this pandemic period, and it's been blowing up for a while now, but I think because everyone's stuck at home, they want to become more creative. TikTok.
Yeah. So TikTok, everyone knows it. I refused to download it for a while.
Did you end up downloading it?
I did. So one of the problems with being quarantined in your house for 2.5 months is that you get really bored. And I have resorted to downloading TikTok, and I will admit it is very addicting.
And I haven't downloaded for that reason, because I don't want to get addicted to another another app, right? We have too many social media apps that already take a lot of time out of our days. I haven't downloaded it yet. I might end up joining that bandwagon. I don't understand, because the thing is, TikTok seems like a mix of a lot of different apps that we've seen in the past, right? Like Musical.ly, Vine.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it is Musical.ly though. Like when you type in the Musical.ly like URL, TikTok comes up now.
What is so different about TikTok that, like, I mean, to be honest, I didn't really use Vine or Musical.ly before either. Same. So I don't think we're the right people. And I'm trying to get another person who's been using TikTok a lot on this podcast. So hopefully we can get a bit more insight on that. But specifically, what is so addicting about it for you, Ben? Why do you spend so many hours on it?
I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like the reason I didn't download it for a while is because I knew it was going to be addictive. And I had other things. Like, I already focus on sports a lot and studies, obviously. But then when sports went away, there's no sports right now. And then, like, studies became kind of sparse. I just kind of downloaded it. And I don't know what makes it addictive exactly. It's just kind of a lot of funny videos. And it sort of just keeps swiping. And it just doesn't stop, you know.
Okay, for me and the viewers at home, for people who don't actually use the app, why don't you describe, is there like ads on the app?
So that's interesting, because up until like 2 days ago, I didn't notice any ads. And now every like seventh video, there's like a sponsored video that comes up.
And you can't skip that?
Yeah, you can't skip. Oh, you can. You could swipe past it. You could swipe past it, but it does come up. It does come up.
Okay, interesting. Like Vine had a huge issue of like not being able to properly monetize the app, you know?
Right,
like
that's why it failed,
died,
right?
Because of it. Yeah, and like I'm not too sure about Musical.ly either. Like, obviously, I'm pretty sure TikTok is a new generation of Musical.ly, but it's just I want to know how financially viable, how is it going to be different than Vine or Musical.ly. But the good thing is that, like, compared to those apps, right, we know that there is a demand for it, right? So many users are using it. And I've been watching, I don't know, because the thing is, I still don't really understand TikTok. Do you? Like, I mean, I think, like, it's just fun videos, and I think that's all it is.
If you watch just, like, the dances, like, it's a little hard to understand why that's so addicting, besides the fact that, like, all the people are good looking. But, I mean...
No, but also, okay, so, like, if you see Charli D'Amelio's, like, TikToks, she's actually talented. Like, she's actually a really good dancer.
She's a really good dancer. Yeah. But I found, like, after a while, she sort of kind of does the same...
Dances all the time.
Not exactly the same, but slight variations.
The TikTokers who TikTok all the time, right? They probably post, what, 5 to 6 videos a day?
Yeah, she posts easily, like, 5 videos a day.
And a lot of the times it's the same music, right?
I mean, like, she usually changes the music every couple videos. Or, like, it depends. She redoes stuff, but it's always, like, slight variations on dances.
And do you think it's because it's, like, the algorithm of how videos are posted? Like, it depends on, like, what type of music and what type of video itself gets... Like, what decides a trend? Who decides a trend on TikTok? How does it work?
To be honest, at this point, I think Charli D'Amelio decides the trends. She's, like, the biggest hit. Yeah. But I don't know. I think it depends. I mean, like, Vine had stars as well, didn't it?
Yeah. But they all transitioned to YouTube and stuff, and so...
Yeah, but that's why I think eventually TikTok probably will die the same way that Vine died.
It's funny, because I think TikTok is very similar to Instagram because of the scrolling technique, the way you just look at videos, like... And maybe it's not really a subscribe, but you can follow people on
Instagram. Yeah, you have Instagram. Like... It's kind of like a discover page, same kind of thing.
Exactly. But TikTok is just videos, and it's very short videos. And I think it's, like, that's the type of entertainment that, like, this generation is kind of looking for, you know? Mm-hmm. We're looking for, like, instant gratification type of...
Yes.
The format of videos, the format type of posts. And I don't know what the next wave is.
Very, very short attention spans. I mean.
Yeah, but then we're seeing the other side, right? Like, I mean, we wanted to start a podcast for fun, but there's so many other people who are starting podcasts these days, and they're the length of the podcast is not short. It's like 20, 30, 40, 1 hour, 2 hours, right? And these podcasts, people are engaged for the entire time. So it's... TV shows are not dying.
Are people really listening to the full podcast?
I mean, we'll see. If you guys still are listening till this point, DM us, text us.
Definitely listen to our full podcast. But with other people,
exactly.
With other people, you can listen sparsely.
No, but I've been listening to a lot of podcasts recently, so I definitely find that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, my idea of listening to a podcast is like the Stephen A. Smith radio show.
Yeah, but that's interesting, right?
It is interesting, but it's a lot of screaming and a lot of yelling. But
so it's interesting you brought up Stephen A. Smith. Do you want to transition to the one thing that really connects the both of us?
The one and only.
Even though both Ben and I have, like, very, very different cultural upbringings, one thing that actually brought us together as roommates was our love for basketball. And how is quarantine without sports for you, Major League sports? Huh?
It's painful. I've had to redefine what my existence is, because my whole life was sports. I mean, not my whole life, but I loved watching sports and paying attention to sports, and no live sports is pretty brutal. But I found a way. Yeah. I found a way through it.
how did you find a way? For the millions of people who watch sports all the time.
I mean, for one, The Last Dance documentary.
Were you going to say TikTok?
TikTok, maybe.
Oh, The Last Dance, yeah.
The Last Dance. For anyone that doesn't know, it's a new documentary about Michael Jordan, who is the GOAT of the NBA, and I put that in quotation marks because it's undefined. But let's just say he's the GOAT for now.
So there are three players. I mean, okay. Usually there are three players, but I put a third player in the mix. Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Michael Jordan. For those of you who don't know, these are the three pretty big names in the NBA who, like, two of them have retired. One of them actually recently passed away. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
Rest in peace, Kobe.
We have, we've had a lot of furious discussions, and I think now it's very different from when we started, right? Because we have a lot more information. We've done a yes. little bit more research on stats and everything. Yes. And for those of you who don't really know about basketball, hopefully you guys will follow. But this is something that we've actually really wanted to talk about. So after watching The Last Dance, right? Who do you think is the GOAT? How would you rate?
Let me take my gloves off. Here we go. Okay, so The Last Dance. I have found Michael Jordan. Well, because obviously we didn't live through when he played.
Exactly. That was one of the major issues. Like, whenever people say Michael's a GOAT, we never watched him play, unfortunately. We could watch highlights and everything, but we never really understood the context or how good he actually was.
Hear about it was people saying that he was the GOAT, and I'm like, Jesus, why is this guy the GOAT? Like, no way he played better than LeBron and Kobe. Like, no way. And then I'm watching this Last Dance, and I'm like, holy cow, this guy was different. He was special.
No, but like, it's not just about his work ethic or the way he approached the game. He's so talented.
The shots that he made were just like, whoa. Because something interesting, and I swear, while I'm watching this thing, I'm like, wait, could LeBron have made that shot? Like, I don't know if he could have done that. Like, oh my God. He was just unguardable. At to a point where, like, they were throwing everyone at him and he still scored.
And that, okay, so that's another thing. So I just watched episode 3. So for people who don't really know, I think this series is actually, it's now on the 6th episode or 7th episode?
7th and 8th.
So I'm trying to catch up. I'm only watching one episode a day.
7th and 8th came out tonight, I think.
I didn't realize how physical the game was back then. Like, I know how bad it is today with, like, the amount of fouls that people call and like the amount of technicals that people get.
No, and it's interesting that you bring that up because when I watch Stephen A. Smith is on this ESPN debate show called First Take, and he's on it with a guy named Max Kellerman, and they debate all different kinds of sports topics. Addy doesn't like Max Kellerman, but that's a topic for another day.
The amount of times he's like bad-mouthed Kobe.
Let's
like,
not get into that now. But anyway, so when they talk about the GOAT debate, they always bring, because they both agree that Michael Jordan is the GOAT, and they always talk about because the game was so much more physical back then, and about how there used to be hand-checking, and the fact that, like, now the game is soft with the rules and they call fouls that they wouldn't have called back then. And I never really understood it until I watched some of the highlights. And it was just, it was a different game. But then, of course, you could look now and say, well, the three-point shot is much more important now when it wasn't back then. So that could factor in as well.
No, I completely agree. I think Steph Curry definitely changed the game with that, right? He revolutionized the game through the three-point. When we discuss who's better versus LeBron and Kobe, I think right now, like, obviously, if you see the stats and everything, I think LeBron definitely wins it, and I'm pretty open about that. But I actually what's interesting, I take a different stance a little bit now that we've had this conversation a lot, and I used to emotionally back Kobe to the end. I think the GOAT debate itself is actually a wrong debate to have.
It's why it's really hard to compare eras, because the game is so different than it was 25 years ago.
When you're comparing Kobe and LeBron, like, they play two different positions, and they played on two different, vastly different teams.
It's why it's easier to compare Kobe and Michael Jordan, because they're very similar players.
Very, very similar.
Kobe modeled his game after Mike.
But I still take Kobe over Mike, because which other basketball player got an Oscar?
Well, I think that is an interesting point, because I think when you start looking at the GOAT debate, what are you really talking about? Are you talking about who was the best at their peak? Like, if you took both of them at the best point in their careers, who was a better basketball player? That could be one debate. Or you could look at who was the best over the time of their career. If you were starting a franchise, who would you want for the next 20 years? Or you could look at who's had an impact outside of basketball, who has talked about social justice, who has made an impact in changing the game and affecting and becoming a global figure. So I think there are many different ways that you can have the debate. But let me just say that with that being said, you will hear as a theme throughout these podcasts that I am a huge LeBron fan. I think that might be an understatement.
But what do you think about the legacy that LeBron has? You know, the fact that he can't win a ring if the league doesn't restart. What do you think about the league restarting? How does that factor into your summer plans? How would the playoffs look ideally for you?
Yeah, so the thing is, one of the reasons that this virus has really been bad for LeBron fans, at least, is that he's 36 years old. He doesn't have that many seasons left. This looked like a really good year. They have the best record in the West. He was gearing up for the playoffs. It was looking good. He needs rings. And then the stoppage happened. And he really needs to win this year. It's
unfortunate because like I watched I think a conversation with him and talked about how like at his age, like stopping and then restarting, it's not really a rest, you know?
Yeah, I saw that. That was so interesting.
Yeah. People would assume that, oh, you have a lot of rest, you should be up and ready to go. But like restarting the body after like so many months of like...
Everyone was saying like, oh, this is great for LeBron. He's benefiting. He's getting so much extra rest at his age. And then he's like, nah, it takes me the whole season to build up my body for the playoffs. And with this stoppage, like it's actually hurting him because it sort of slows down the momentum that he was building.
I don't know if you know, but MLL or the Lacrosse League... has restarted.
Sounds like classic lacrosse. Yeah.
No, but what's cool about it is that what they did was, because I think they only have like 7 teams or something, they were able to isolate all of their players in a specific location. And they're going to play the entire rest of the season or the start of the season. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on this. But they've been able to isolate all of their players because they don't have that many players within their league. And I think me and Ben were discussing about it, like this was the best possible scenario, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the thing with the NBA is they're considering, like, one of the considerations has been putting them in a Vegas hotel and casino that's all connected so that they could house them and have them play in the same space, so they're all isolated. The other idea that's been floated has been Disney World, and having them stay at these Disney hotels and then stay on the complex. Apparently there's 5 courts there. So that would be nice. But the problem is that you can't start it without the testing. And at this point, getting tests to restart sports is certainly a bad look, considering there's a lot of testing issues in the country for people that really need them.
Like, I think in terms of lockdown, and I might be wrong, and we're talking from perspectives of 2 university students, so it's not that effective if you're doing, like, a half lockdown kind of thing, where some states are doing lockdowns, some states are easing lockdowns and stuff. It's kind of have to be a unanimous effort. Like, in Malaysia, at least, like, it was pretty...
Absolutely.
...severe, and obviously that had its economic repercussions. At a certain point, how much does... like the GDP matter in terms of like saving people's lives, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to mention like restarting the economy and for those selfish reasons is just going to lead to more cases and then we're going to have to go back into lockdown. So in the long run, it's actually not even going to benefit the economy. You actually have a better benefit if everyone stays locked down for the longest possible time in one try instead of going over and over again.
But then, yeah, I agree. But I see both sides, though, you know? It's different for each population size, if that makes sense. Like, U.S. just has, like, what, 300 million people. India has, what, 1.2 billion people. And they've been under lockdown for a good 2 months now. And the number of new cases has been rising every day. So it's not... like a full lockdown is the perfect solution either.
No, true. I mean, it's impossible to fully contain it as we've seen.
I just want to like take this time to respect all of the healthcare workers that are risking their lives every day.
Yes, yes. Shout out to all the healthcare workers. Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Actually, like you are the true superheroes. Please keep doing what you're doing. Save whichever country you're working for, like, our hearts are with you.
Yes.
our minds are with you, and we're, like, we're fighting this battle with you by locking down ourselves, you know,
if that makes sense. We can't even express how thankful we are.
How grateful we are, honestly. It's really admirable.
Yeah.
How about let's just end this podcast on a more positive note. What is your outlook for the rest of the summer? What is your plans for the rest of the summer? Are you applying for jobs? What skills have you been learning? What skills are you trying to improve upon? How are you going to make the most of your time? End on a good note. Tell the listeners of what you've got planned.
So obviously everything's gotten pretty messed up by the virus. I've been applying to some virtual internships, so hopefully those will work out. I don't know what the situation is going to be. Hopefully the MBA will come back. I really hope that. And if not, I don't know what I'm going to do. Hopefully something constructive.
But you've also been doing you've been getting to the gym, right? You.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with nothing to do, you might as well get big.
Yeah, we recommend all listeners to get active, do something productive with their lives. You know, like, being healthy is the best way to fend yourself from the
I've been playing a lot of virus. Basketball. Because
oh, you have?
I have a basketball hoop in my driveway, so I've been balling a lot.
That's good. I've been doing some home workouts. I was balling, but because I live in an apartment, like, the people downstairs have complained about noise complaints, so I can't play basketball anymore. So I just do like a push-up workout or sit-up workout or something like that. Apart from that, I'm doing a lot of like online classes, applying to jobs as well for internships, and preparing myself for the 2021 internship opportunity for summer. Yeah,
and I'm just praying that we get to go back to school in the fall.
Oh, for sure. Like, if Emory University, if you're hearing this, please make sure it's safe.
But, yes. Yes.
Please restart school, because I miss it. I miss it so much. For the people who are listening, just a heads up of what you should expect for the episodes that are following. We're going to try to post every week. And don't be mad at us if we do miss a week, because we might have a lot of work or something like that, and something might come up. We'll try to get more interviews, people, our friends, family, to join us in some of our podcast episodes, where we'll just discuss about life in quarantine, how people are staying active, how people are staying positive during this period, and try to spread some positivity around. You know what I mean? We're just doing this for fun. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. Look forward to some the GOAT debate continuing, including special debates about why Kevin Durant is a snake. But that
is going to be an interesting debate.
Get excited for that one.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
Just for the listeners who are listening, obviously, if you're a listener, you're listening. Sorry about that.
To all our fans out there.
Really interesting conversations and discussions. And, wait, there's a huge... there's a huge bug. Oh my God, it's enormous. I gotta kill it. Hold on. Oh, shit.